Brazda, Crossroads Chris, that they were going to be, this is the redevelopment agency meeting yesterday on Tuesday, that the they were going to be considering panhandling complaints at their next meeting, maybe buffing up the panhandling laws. Who knows? Maybe they'll have special extra pepper gas issued to hosts to sort of go around and spray those who ask a little too vigorously for a spare change or don't keep their distance, or maybe they have the temerity to sit down when they're asking. You know, that's part of the illegality downtown. If you are sitting down while asking for spare change, that is criminal offense, punishable by 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine on the second offense. But enough of that. We're going to conclude this article by the Santa Cruz Sentinel's Karen Clark, which essentially is a press release for the City Council and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, but doesn't say so, talking about the fact that, oh, woe is me, there ain't no shelter, what can we do, ain't it a shame, oh dear. And what are those dirty people doing at City Hall protesting it? Byers said there is not enough support on the City Council to overturn the camping ban. Has she ever tried? Ever tried, Catherine? Have you ever tried? Ever made a motion? Don Lane, who I used to call Gone Lame, because he became worse and worse the longer he was in office, and supported service providers against the homeless, even when they were abusive toward the homeless. It has to be said for Don Lane that, to his credit, he introduced a Sanctuary for Sleepers proposal in January of 1989 and got no second. It was all alone. He did it himself, all alone. But he heartened people by doing it, and he did the right thing. And I just wish that Kennedy, Byers, Scott would start trying to do the right thing instead of being Mr. Political. Because once you start raising your voices, at least one of these clowns who call themselves progressives, Matthews, Yokoyama, and even Rotkin, the sofa bed socialist, will have to follow along. That's what happened in the mid-80s when Jane Imler did her hunger fast. They all said no, and then suddenly they all said yes. And they suddenly opened up an open-air shelter. Actually, an open-air shelter. It was a cold and rainy night shelter, but the first such shelter of any substance in Santa Cruz, the first drop-in shelter at Cedar Street in 1985. Continuing the story, but Rotkin said any plan for a homeless campground would face tough scrutiny by council members, some of whom were turned off the idea by the problems at Coral Street. Again, more bullshit, more slander, more vague lies about Coral Street, in essence to justify what the Citizens Committee is doing, which is paving over the Coral Street property for its community house project.
Well, would they rather have them at Coral Street, or would they rather have 200 more of those loons down there on the street?
Right, downtown. See, that's why I say this to the demonstrators who really don't want to offend the merchants. You know, they're all still very polite. Dan Hopkins is one of the politest men I have ever met, and he's the guy who started this current protest last Friday at City Hall. He doesn't want to offend the merchants. And same with Sean. Sean is one of the main backers of Dan Hopkins and of the idea of ending the sleeping ban and establishing emergency campgrounds for people, legal campgrounds. He's trying to get a permitted operation for Feed the People. I don't recommend looking for permits for food operations. I think that's the wrong way to go. But I do commend Sean for his constant good work on the streets, feeding people 4 or 5 days a week in the face of these gentrified businesses that want to remove homeless people from the mall. But these guys, Sean and Dan, don't really want to put the matter in the merchants' face because they think somehow the merchants are innocent victims, or you know, they're not really to blame, and so forth and so on. As far as I'm concerned, however, that's the only time things are going to change. And I think we're about to be kicked out of here by the new hosts. So I will summarize this article. I'll read the rest of it, and then I'm out of here. And I hope you'll be back tomorrow. And I'm sorry, on Friday at Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. That's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if you want to be on the air, go down to Taco Bell at Pacific and Laurel Streets. That's Taco Bell at 9:45 in the morning, and I'll put you on the air if you've got anything discussed around these issues. Or you can give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I welcome your input on this. I want to thank Bobby for being with me, and I want to remind you that if you want to call the SPCA, they're now open to ask about that dog Spike. It's 423-7260, 423-7260. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is the last two paragraphs of the story. The campground run before was horrible, based on testimony of some people who lived there, said Rodkin, adding that he witnessed some people openly using drugs. I bet he's done that at some of his parties, too, haven't you, Mike? I don't think the city of Santa Cruz is ready to endorse a place that's an open shooting gallery. Such inflammatory language that justifies the abuse of hundreds and hundreds of people by denying them shelter. This is disgraceful coming from a mayor. I was shocked, and I am not shocked by much. I see. Councilmember Scott Kennedy is among those who believe the city should not be turned from the idea of a campground because of the Coral Street disaster. Apparently, the Sentinel has bought that phrase, Coral Street disaster. I felt that the site was totally inappropriate for a winter campground, said Kennedy. A campground can and could be a relatively cheap way of providing emergency or transitional housing. Good for you, Scott. That's true. It's true you've always opposed that site as a campground. The difference that we've had, the difference of opinion we've always had has been whether your presence at negotiations between the campers, the Citizens Committee, and the City Council, in essence, was telling people, go ahead, continue those negotiations legitimately, that they have some meaning and merit, that you will not sabotage them, which you did by supporting the decision of CCH to close that campground in December. This is Robert Norris of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides signing off and turning the airwaves over to whoever comes next here. I see some people I don't know the names of. It's the Spanish La Rata is coming on. So venga La Rata, venga, and let's get some real Spanish stuff on the air. We got all this damn Anglo shit ruining everything. Maybe they can do a little better. Thanks again, and tune in Bathroom Spears Broadsides Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning, 96.3 FM.
What happened, right?
No, I don't.
Gotten the word by now?
I just got here.
Oh, you just did?
Yes.
Well, right before the sun went up, the cops swooped in and got two more.
They came in and busted two more sleepers?
Yep.
And who were those two?
One of them was Sean.
Uh-huh, Sean of Feed the People, eh?
Yep.
We're talking about the City Hall sleepout, right? This is a report from Al at the City Hall on what's happened on the seventh night of the City Hall sleepout for homeless rights, where these sleepers are sleeping to find a campground and also so that the 500 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz will no longer be subject to the anti-homeless sleeping ban. Go ahead.
And we couldn't warn them. They, you know, the cop came up and says, everybody stay away now, you know, like... You know what I'm saying?
So they were gunning for tickets, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't get his.
That must
name.
Have happened right after I left, because Don was in the sky.
Exactly. So, it happened so fast. You know what I'm saying?
So it was Sean, and then the other fellow who came and laid out his blanket before that.
They were sleeping.
So there were two tickets, or they were
yep,
were they arrested?
Tickets.
Just tickets.
Yeah, I don't think they were arrested.
And so the vigil goes on strong, even as the police continue their. Ridiculous and abusive activity in terms of enforcing this ridiculous law.
Right.
Yeah.
So
well, let me key
I'm
in.
Surprised nobody has, you know, called from. See, when it happened, I kind of took a little excursion, but
mm-hmm.
I'm surprised nobody has called from down there.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I got no word from there, but again, maybe people were too sleepy to call.
I know it. I know. Like I said, I just, you know,
well,
sleep all night. I
haven't opened the show, so let me open the show.
Okay, go ahead.
And if you want, call back at a later point, we can
right.
continue the conversation.
Right, okay.
All well, right.
It's worth.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
I am now opening the show. This is Bathrobe Spear Robert Norris. The bathrobe, of course, is what we wear when we go to our support wars for sleepouts with homeless people. That is to say, the laws that make it illegal for homeless people to sleep. I encourage everyone to hop into their nightgown or bathrobe, grab a candle and a teddy bear, and waltz on down to City Hall, your City Hall, and whatever city you're in, if they have laws pending. They don't in San Francisco. They say now because Mayor Willie Brown has suspended the sleeping ban. Unfortunately, our somewhat more reactionary mayor, Mike Rodkin, still has the sleeping ban in force, and he is the fourth vote that could move to change the sleeping ban in this crisis. Why isn't he doing it? Well, stay tuned to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides for the next 2 hours, and you may get a clue as to what's going on down at City Hall, throughout the town, and perhaps even in a somewhat broader area across the state. Civil Rights for the Poor, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, and you are tuned to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Our call-in number is 427-3772.
Remember, Congress members once were liberal democratic.
Our banks were wrecked.
We bounced our checks.
Our morals were erratic.
Then voters came and slapped the blame. The changes were dramatic. You traded radical liberals for a new breed of fanatic. Super callous, mean, and nasty right-wing legislation.
We're gonna block all progress.
Clinton's term is in stagnation. He'll rise again, but only when we recess for vacation. From super callous, mean, and nasty right-wing legislation. Lum-de-li-li-lum-de-li. We have a plan.
It's on C-SPAN.
We know you'll be enthralled.
So our contract with America is airing on Geraldo.
It has a secret message. To decipher what it's called, go and read the slogan backwards. It's a lot like finding Waldo. Noisy newts, white men in suits give you the cheapest creepers.
Of all the recent congresses, this one could be the cheapest.
Push people off the public trough.
Our cuts could be the deepest.
We'll take a bet that you'll forget. You do not have to keep us. And now, in his internationals.
The Capitol Steps, one of their earlier albums, actually a couple years ago. You're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, and we are about to have a quick PSA here from a caller who just happened on the line.
Hi, caller. How you doing? That sounds great.
And so I'm trying to collect up as many old 10-speeds, old rusty bikes that are sitting in people's garages. I'll come and pick them up anywhere in Santa Cruz, San Jose. I'll even go as far as San Francisco to pick up bikes.
Wow.
And, it's just an incredible tool for people.
What's your name, caller?
My name is Kenry, and my number is
423-1233.
And I can also use monetary support to buy rocks.
So that's 423-1233, and you're Henry, am I right?
Henry with a K.
Oh, Kenry, I'm sorry, yeah. Kenry.
Kenry
at 423-1233, that's pretty easy to remember. If I work on it, I guess I can.
Yeah, and I do have a question as well.
Sure.
I have gone down to City Hall, and it's just an incredible thing that's happening down there, and I do encourage anybody to go down, and even, like I did, I brought a pot of beans and some chips, and it just really helped out.
Oh, I think I saw you down there.
Yeah, so anything anybody can do, you know, I think a lot of people kind of, once they get this information, they can support this, because a lot of people, a lot of middle-class people that I talk to are on the edge, always in fear that if they miss their next paycheck, they may be on the street themselves, and they're living in that constant fear. So this is something for everybody, even if you do live under an established roof paying high rent.
No question about it.
Yeah, and I just say, and I also wonder why I'm not hearing this on my other radio stations, which I do call in and let them know, but like 91.5 KKUP, I'm not hearing it much. I'm not hearing it on KESC, the information about City Hall. I just don't hear it.
Well, you know, that is an excellent question, and the answer is twofold. On the right-wing stations like KSCO AM, which is 1080, and those who want to call,
or 479-1080,
they have the most talk shows around. They, of course, hate homeless rights activists, many of them, much of their audience, and they'll actually discuss the issues occasionally, if only to slam you. But KKUP and KZSC, with some exceptions, are sort of in kind of the arms of the downtown city establishment, and they do not want to offend the Kennedys and the Rutkins and the people downtown, and so they tend to kind of shut up about it, except to make the politically correct political pronouncements, like, oh, there is a real problem, and certainly the city council is working hard on it, and we should all be hopeful, and all this sort of horseshit. So I encourage people to call these stations, and it sounds like you have some experience with that. Maybe if you want to call back and put out their numbers here, which I don't have easily handy, we can ask our folks to call in, who people are listening to this show anyway. I call you our folks, and urge the stations to give some time to this, and, you know, continue to bring it up, show that the public is interested, considers it newsworthy, and so forth.
Yeah, and I do have those phone numbers just off the top of my head.
Excellent.
So KZSC is 459-4036.
459-4036.
And KKUP, which I think is a wonderful station in a lot of ways, is 253-6000.
253-6000. That's over in Cupertino. Actually, KKUP is a pretty good station. I mean, I don't have any complaints, but I'm thinking more about I think it's KUSP.
Yeah, KUSP that's the way it goes.
It's easy listening.
KKUP is still completely community supported. They get no money from the government whatsoever.
So call KZSC if you can. I urge you and all our callers to just, you know, make a call twice a day. Say, I want to hear more news about what's going on downtown at the Sleepout. Can you please give us more information? And do the same with... Actually, KSCO does do little teeny bits on it. They put me on the air occasionally as a snippet. So,
yeah,
KSCO is 479-1080.
Yeah, and KCSC does have now students doing their own news
right.
journalism.
Exactly.
Project, so they do have their own KCSC news before the KPFA news. It's only 10 or 15 minutes, but they do have
That's around, what, so you call them actually around 5 or 6, something like that? Around 5, I guess, you might be able to get into their news. Although I suspect you can try. And their number is 459-4036. And again, your number, Kenry, for those who wanted to contribute effort, bicycles, or money to your Bicycles for the Homeless effort is?
423-1233.
423-1233.
Yes.
Thanks
and
again.
And I also have a question about the 15th. Isn't there a big court case or something going on for Berkeley?
There is.
Free Berkeley?
Yes, there is. On the 15th, there actually is a hearing in federal court in Oakland for Free Radio Berkeley, which will affect us here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. There'll be a rally to keep Free Radio Berkeley, which is 104.1 FM up there. You can't get it down here unless you've got a very sensitive radio. Friday, March 15th at 9 a.m., Broadway and 12th at the Oakland City Center BART. There'll be a big rally, and then folks are going to march to the federal court hearing at 13th and Clay at the Oakland Federal Building. That's a rally for free speech, because at that hearing there'll be the licensing procedures for micro-broadcasting radio, at least for Berkeley, will be on the line. And they have been fighting it successfully for a year and a half in court, but this is going to be an important hearing to come to and watch if you can. If you can get up to Berkeley on that day, there'll probably be a caravan leaving from Santa Cruz, and I'll try and report on that.
That's what I want to know.
On Monday.
I would like to go.
Right. I have no news on that at the moment, but I suspect there will be such a caravan. And, stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz for updates, and who knows, maybe someone will even start posting flyers about it.
Great. All right. Thanks for all the good work you're doing.
Thank you, Kenry. And again, call Kenry with your bicycles and your bicycle ideas and your bicycle money at 423-1233.
Yeah, someone else calling now. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And, yes, our phone lines are now open, and you are listening to me. I'm Bathrobe's Pierre Robert. And I've got a whole bunch of tapes here that I just want to start throwing at you. First one was one I wanted to play on Wednesday when I got a special extra bit of time, because John Stewart, who's still not feeling well, gave me his hour, and I got a half hour from Audio Cranium, the notorious Audio Cranium, so I've been panhandling time here on the air. And I'll give you a taste of what Keith McHenry had to say 2 days ago. What's happening with our show today is we have no scheduled guests. We had a couple who said they were going to show, but we're crapping out on that one at the moment. But we do have lots of interesting and relatively recent interviews. One this morning with Homeless Community Resource Center Director Karen Gillette, talking about the homeless crisis. Another confirming from the St. Francis Soup Kitchen, Lee Loboa, that indeed they do not want protesters to show up for clothing or food. You can take your ideas somewhere else, take your defiant bodies down the road. Don't come to us for basic Christian charity. We only give it to the elect and the select and the ones we select. That's not all the things she says, of course, but we're going to get into that issue later in the show, as well as new directions for the Sleepout at City Hall. What's next? We have 1 week until March 15th when the Winter Armory shelter opens, and I should say closes. What I mean is opens its doors and kicks everybody out. But when there is no more guaranteed winter armory shelter at the armory. There will be some probably continuation of the winter armory on those nights when it's below 40 or I think below 50 and raining, something like that, some sort of weather contingent standard. But generally, that's when 80 to another 150 people are dumped on the street with nothing but the city council wringing its hands and Mike Rotkin patting the city on the back for its wonderful homeless services. That's Mayor Mike Rotkin. In San Francisco, Willie Brown has said, no more arrests for sleep. But in Santa Cruz, Mayor Rotkin says, lock them up, get out or hide out. Those aren't his words, but those are the effect of his policies. Now here's a report from San Francisco.
We may have Keith McHenry on the line in a moment.
Where to go?
Well, I'm on the line here with the very same Keith McHenry, a Food Not Bombs activist. Hi, Keith.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, we're struggling and fighting in the fifth day of a sleep out to establish basic rights for homeless people, specifically around the right to sleep here in Santa Cruz.
It was recorded earlier.
And police are arresting people, taking their dogs, and beating people up. At least this is, we've had one incident of each of these. I don't want to use a multiple and exaggerate. But I'm calling you because I understand in San Francisco, Slick Willie has both legalized sleeping in the outside, at least provided you don't gather with more than one person or attempt to put a tent over yourself. But on the other hand, he's been cracking down on demonstrators. What's going on in San Francisco, Keith?
Well, in actuality, even though he's made these statements about sleeping in the park, at the same time, the police are essentially identifying all people in the park as being in violation of the law anyway. And so the clampdown on homeless people continues with the background of the mayor making claims that it's okay to sleep in the park. And this kind of is becoming the pattern of this mayor. He's got the same sort of thing happening with he's saying that he's opposed to the destruction of the housing at the Presidio and then believes that the homeless vets should be allowed to be housed there. At the same time, his government is supporting the demolition of the housing for these homeless vets. So what he, on one hand, will be saying the right thing, on the other hand, doing downtown businesses' bidding. So with the protest, I think that was one of the most clear example of how Willie Brown's policies are actually, unfortunately, no different than Frank Jordan's and no different than the mayor before him, Art Agnes's, that essentially these people are interested in supporting downtown business at the risk of looking as though they are turning back on their campaign promises and alienating the progressive community.
What happened on Sunday around the protest for police accountability?
Now, what happened in San Francisco is we had about 200 people, maybe a little more, gather at 16th and Mission. And as we stated on our poster that we've been putting out now for about 6 weeks, we proceeded to march to 850 Bryant Street.
Location of the courts.
And that's the police headquarters was a part of a nationwide protest where people went to police headquarters and had speakouts talking about the incidents of police violence in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So we marched, there was a sound truck that was yelling, stay in one lane, stay in one lane. So there was a really large crowd, so people only stayed on one side of the road. Oncoming traffic was allowed to pass freely.
Mm-hmm.
And we marched down Valencia Street, past the Mission Police Precinct, and down to Market, and down Market to 6th Street. And we were marching on 6th Street. This is a Sunday, you might recall, at about 5:30, 6 o'clock.
In the afternoon,
and we're on marching down 6th Street when suddenly a bunch of riot police rush across the street and block our path on 6th Street.
Mm-hmm.
At Howard. And then the loudspeakers yell, everyone onto the sidewalk, and everyone rushed to the sidewalk, and then the police surrounded everybody and arrested everybody that was on the sidewalk.
What was the charge?
And we were charged with failure to obey a police order.
Which was?
To go onto the sidewalk, which we did. So we then the media proceeded to the commercial media claimed what little there was of coverage of this event, claimed that we had blocked the street at 6th and Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the police blocked the street at 6th and Howard and blocked the street for over an hour, making this 130 arrests.
So the police prevented you from going to the police headquarters and making a speak-out. In essence, they stopped the speak-out by arresting you before you got there.
Right, and they arrested every single person, even though they had all rushed to the sidewalk.
And so did you get arrested yourself?
I was arrested. That was my 100th arrest.
I see. Well, congratulations, Keith.
Yeah, that was fun.
I see. How long were you held in jail?
We were out, but most of us by midnight that night. So that was
Now, do you plan, in fact, a second speak out today? Are you going to do another march?
There's going to be a speak out today. We're meeting at 850 Bryant Street.
This time you wouldn't want to take any chances of getting arrested before getting there.
Right. We're going to try to just actually go there and do the speak out. And that should be pretty interesting to see how long that lasts.
What time is that?
The commission meeting is afterwards. Well, we're meeting at 5 o'clock to do the speak out, and then the police commission meeting starts officially at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
what's the significance of the police commission meeting?
Well, the police commission is allegedly where you go, and they're the civilian interface between the community and the department.
So even though you have an
supposedly running the department,
even though you have an Office of Citizen Complaints, which is the civilian review, this is a more powerful body that actually controls the police.
Yeah, theoretically, the OCC will have to bring its findings to the police commission at some point,
mm-hmm,
to decide whether there's going to be any charges.
The OCC was supposed to be beefed up, I read into this morning's paper, but they haven't yet hired the new people, at least.
And there's actually been a wildcat strike recently at the OCC where people refused to work because they were angry at the statements made by the new director, essentially accusing them of the workers being incompetent there. So,
was that an accurate designation or not?
Actually, it is an unfortunately accurate designation, but in a way. But the reason they don't get anything done is not really because of their totally being inept. The real problem is that their bosses would fire them if they were actually doing their job. So it's kind of they don't do their job because of fear of retribution by the...
Have they said this, or is this your analysis?
This is they have said this, to not publicly, but to me in person and to a number of other people over the years. In fact, the famous case of John Silva, who did say that publicly and who was fired instantly after stating such... And there's been lawsuits, including my own lawsuit against the OCC, which is still pending, for handing over all of my files and not even bothering to Xerox them and keep a copy for themselves to the offending officers.
So in other words, they're pretty eager to please down there, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are. It's a pretty interesting thing. Now theoretically, activists are giving them a little time to get their act together at OCC and see if they'll actually change their tune. But I'm not holding my breath. My suspicion is, just like with the change in the government, that ultimately downtown business runs things in San Francisco. In fact, downtown business not only thinks it runs things in San Francisco, downtown business thinks it runs things, period, worldwide, and the end of comment from their point of view. Of course, we have, as far as our downtown business is concerned, some illustrious community members, including Bank of America, Chevron Corporation, Bechtel, Pacific Gas and Electric, and so on, who are operating criminal enterprises all around the globe. So
now, what's happening with food not bombs in Arcata and Sacramento? We had heard there had been continued harassment in both those areas. Have you got any updates?
There's no real updates. Rahula, actually, from Arcata Food not bombs, who was busted up in Arcata, was arrested, I believe, or she was at least as an attendant at the march. where 130 people were arrested. And I didn't really talk to her in any detail about what had gone on up in Arcata.
Are they still facing trial up there for contempt of court for serving free food?
Right, and it's still held up because it turned out the judges had done the same thing.
Mm-hmm. How about Sacramento, where I understand there's been harassment from the guides or hosts?
Yeah, the guides apparently are still taking down their numbers and so on. And the conversation in the last week or two between us and Sacramento was that Sacramento felt that there was probably going to be a civil contempt case being built up. Essentially the activities of the guides were the same in Sacramento as with the police in Arcata, and that essentially the same tactic might be used in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a theory anyway.
Anything new on People's Park or the kind of controversy around that open space, which the university is again menacing and has been considering reclaiming and throwing food services out of and so forth?
It looks like the organizers have successfully repelled attacks by the university so far. And there's a debate around the free box as to whether it should be a one-way free box or the two-way free box. And I believe both free boxes are there, a one-way one and in the two-way free box. So that's where that controversy lies, best of my knowledge. It hasn't changed, really. And
anything about FoodNet Bomb's court cases you think that people should know about, or are there any such pending? Or
Actually, I'm yet to find out information about an appeal, which my attorney Randy Baker called and left a message with me, and I haven't gotten back to him about
that. You want to catch that call?
Yeah, just a second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so... yeah, I think the big court case actually that's coming up of interest is the Free Radio Berkeley court case, which is on Friday, March 15th, and now it'll be at 9:00 at the City Center BART station, and marching over to the federal building at Clay Street in downtown Oakland, and that's to determine whether there'll be an injunction against Free Radio Berkeley or not, and of course that would affect
Free Radio Santa Cruz as well.
Could affect, and at least it might open the door to the FCC going around harassing more stations again.
Have you heard anything from Ybor City, Florida? You may remember about a week ago we found that they were being threatened by FCC.
They are continuing to operate, and the FCC, like they have done here in San Francisco, came, threatened to bust them, and then left and never came back. And that's the same pattern we've seen here at Radio Libre, at San Francisco Liberation Radio, and with Free Radio Berkeley.
Indeed, in Santa Cruz as well, the FCC at some point came, and I believe they either were investigating or knocked at the door or called in or something and wanted to come on down. And
right. Apparently there were some guys in trench coats wandering around the backyard of some house.
Right.
Looking for a
transmitter.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same pattern. We talked to Kelly at Ybor City, Free Radio Ybor City in Tampa, Florida. He got a lot of good media, front page of the Tampa Daily Paper.
Did you get copies of that?
And I don't have copies of that, but they're like cranking. Apparently they're very excited that they, increased listenership in the Ybor City area, which is the sort of the old town. It's a French colonial-style town. It looks very much like the...
It's near Tampa, right?
It's in Tampa. It's part of Tampa, and it looks just like the French Quarter in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
but it's an African-American and punk rock community slowly gentrifying, or actually rapidly gentrifying into a yuppie tourist attraction in the Tampa area. So there's a lot of pressure there to between the African American community and these wealthy.
Well, I know Food Not Bombs meets tonight in San Francisco. Let me interrupt you here in the midst of your discussion of Ybor City.
Actually, it'll be in the meeting this evening will be for East Bay Food Not Bombs.
Oh, okay.
And then Thursday night is San Francisco Food Not Bombs.
I guess a good point. I'm one day behind here. I thought I'd mention it because down here, the demonstrators desperately need support at the Santa Cruz City Hall sleepout, and I was going to encourage adventurous Food Not Bombs members in the East Bay and in San Francisco to come down.
Fantastic. Yeah, we'll bring that up.
Any time of the day or night, we need people to come down to the sleepout. Today, a man was arrested. He was afraid to go to the sleep out, so he kind of stayed away. He was one of the original River Street refugees. His name was Michael, and he was picked up at 8 o'clock, arrested for spitting at a police officer, and his dog was put in the pound. And so that was one of the main concerns we had about homeless people, about their dogs being seized. And his worst nightmare then came true. 2 days ago, a couple reported being beaten by the main lieutenant who was covering the police situation, Lieutenant Habey, and his sergeant Vogel. And there were no witnesses to that. We have only their account and their claims. But the woman was very upset. The man was upset. They were crying. We took videotape depositions and so forth, and then they disappeared. So there's violence going on down here, and of course there's constant harassment. But about a doughty band of 5 or 6 people is maintaining a day and night vigil at City Hall at 809 Center Street in Santa Cruz. And indeed, we have a phone number here for you in case you want to give them a call on the City Hall payphone. You can actually call the payphone and get through to them.
Okay, that's great.
The payphone number is
408-425-9679. Well, that's fantastic. Now, I encourage definitely the listeners to join that as well, people in Santa Cruz, to get out. And I will spread the word, and we'll get it out on Free Radio Berkeley and San Francisco Liberation Radio.
I mean, I know how successful. It really was quite dramatic, the impact that Hoodnut Bombs and other supporters had in dealing with the debate on the sit-on-the-sidewalk laws in 1994. And, of course, you came down in 1988, actually.
Right, 88, during the soup without a permit.
You came down on what is now Linda Edwards Day to support the homeless and their right to serve free food down here. And, indeed, one of the people who is one of the main free food servers is at the heart of the vigil, a man named Sean, although he's not doing it as an official free food server, but simply out of a conviction that the homeless need a campground, and they are trying to overturn the sleeping ban down here.
Which day is Linda Edwards Day?
Linda Edwards Day is December 13th. That was the day you came down, and she and you and No Guns and her son all got arrested for serving free food or associated activity when we had that pot of soup in front of City Hall. And in front of that same City Hall, we're doing a sleep out, and we hope that we can get you and others to come down and just support us.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, we'll get the word out.
And give me a call at 408-423-HUFF if you have any more questions and you can't get anybody to answer at City Hall. You know how City Hall is.
Okay. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
And that was an interview with Keith McHenry from 2 mornings ago. Keith McHenry is a Food Not Bombs activist in San Francisco, and Food Not Bombs here and there, although the organizations are all local and separate, they're groups that serve homeless people food, made up to a large extent of homeless people who get food discarded by the restaurants and not used by groceries. They cook it into healthful vegetarian meals that they then distribute, and they often do this at political rallies in order to support the causes and keep up the spirits and fortify the bodies of the people who are there. And Food Not Bombs has come to City Hall to support the City Hall sleepout folks here in Santa Cruz. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I am Bathrob Spear Robert Norse, and it is 96.3 FM, about 10:35 on March 8th, Friday. And the sleepout is going into its 8th day now. After a 7th night where there were two tickets given, making a grand total of 5 tickets or arrests made at City Hall around, if we count the case of the man who was arrested somewhat intoxicated, who spat at the cop, but it was not an official part of the protest, but who wanted to be, but felt he couldn't because he was afraid of being arrested. Block away, he was indeed arrested, and his dog taken. I understand, however, that I believe Barbara Riverwoman, hardworking SOS, Save Our Shelter, a member concerned with community issues around homelessness, was able to get that dog out and save that dog and returned it to its owner, the former River Street refugee, Michael. So that's 5 tickets directly at the protest. So people, your help is needed at that City Hall protest, because today half the protest leaves. Half of the people who have been a mainstay of the protest, and I want to tip my hat to them and play a song for them and give them all a radio hug, and I hope they're listening to this show and know the good things they've done just by being at the protest, just by sharing their good humor, their good warmth, and their conviction and their willingness to face an unjust law for the masses and masses of homeless people who can't for different reasons or who won't, you know, because of tactical reasons. Who wants to risk jail? Who wants to sit in again at City Hall when it's been tried so often and seems to have failed? Although many of the homeless services in town are there because protesters stood their ground. The free meal, the River Street mini shelter expansion, the kitchen that Karen Gillette uses, I think that and other things all came through protest, through determination by people to raise the issues that the city and the county wanted to bury, that the city and the county did not want to discuss. Just like now, they're wringing their hands and saying, well, oh dear, no, there's no shelter on March 15th, but that's how it goes. We can't find a place. We've looked for 6 months, and gosh-a-rooney, you know, the parks can't be used because, oh dear, well, I mean, the neighbors might complain, and, well, you know, the benchlands can't be used because they do have dog shows and county fairs there, and, you know, and we can't interfere with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's $1.3 million trailer project because, I mean, after all, I mean, they're good guys, and, you know, they got a right to do what they want with their property, and we don't even want to even think of questioning what they're up to in terms of destroying their campground. So we don't have any place for you. I guess we'll just arrest you under the sleeping van. Tough luck. Anyway, these four people, Shannon, Cisco, Scott, and Dennis, are taking off. And plus, of course, Weasel, the three-legged dog. Lest I forget Weasel, for heaven's sake. Sorry about that, Weasel. Don't bite me. No, okay. His spirit was biting at my heels there. These folks are all leaving. They're going to be back in a month, but they have done incredible work, and you're going to hear their voices on the tapes I'm going to be playing here. I'm going to be playing a whole selection of tapes. I have hours and hours of tape, and I'm not quite sure how well edited it is, but really some good stuff on people who came through the sleep out, people who are at the sleep out, people who continue to be at the sleep out. And, of course, this morning, Sean, and I believe, I don't know the name of the other person who got a ticket, I think he was a newcomer to the sleep out, they deserve our salute. Not saying that getting tickets, and they didn't go to jail, they got a ticket, but if they're caught sleeping there again, they will probably be taken to jail, as Robert Fleury was on, I believe it was Sunday night or early Monday morning. Kind of a cold scene in the jail. They keep those jail cells cold, so make sure you're ready to start running around in circles if you're, or wear some nice heavy underwear. They let you keep one layer of clothing in the jail. Anyway, particularly for those four people and for Sean, I'm going to play this song that I played before about Sandy Loringer by one of my favorite song singers, Mark Levy. It's called 999 Points of Light. It's about this woman's struggle in Santa Cruz in 1989 to feed homeless people with SWAP, Soup Without a Permit, a group I was deeply involved with. I was arrested with her. She went to trial. They dropped the trial when it came to me, I guess maybe to some extent because of her and the publicity around her case, which was very negative against Mayor Marty Wormhout, whose position was as vicious then as Michael Rotkin's position is now. In fact, probably worse, because Rotkin is not arresting people for serving free food. Although he did vote to do that, by the way, in 1992, in a secret city council vote on instructing the city attorney to seek an injunction against Food Not Bombs. So Rotkin is not guiltless there, but at least he's not stupid. I mean, he may be crazy, but he's not stupid, as they say. I wish he were a little more crazy. I think he has it in him to make some good changes, and I hope that he can really do that. If you're listening, Mike, you can do it. You know, you've got 3 votes on the council. You're the 4th. Mayor Brown has made changes in San Francisco. You certainly can do the same in a smaller town here like Santa Cruz. But here's this song. I ran into Mark Levy at the University Copy, one of my favorite copy joints, where I copy up flyers galore. And he was preparing his new album. This is a song from his old album, but it's you've heard it before, but I'm going to play a snatch of it again and in honor of Sean, who was arrested last night, and the Fearless Four, who are leaving today and hopefully will be returning soon because we can use their help. We hope that they'll serve as goodwill ambassadors to homeless and other communities and let the homeless know just what is going on in Santa Cruz, that we need their help here and that we're going to offer our help in their communities if they contact us. We We occasionally are experiencing technical difficulties, like about 99% of the time, but I think we're okay now.
30 days in the county jail. Hold my cause, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I have a shop on the street in town where hungry folks walk up and down. Some have no homes, some sick from want. So I went and got some food from a restaurant. I took it to a central spot to feed the weary something hot. The police came, took me away. Now for my awful deed I've gotta pay with 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. They said I need... Trial. While the hungry have to eat from the garbage pile. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I faced the judge and I made my plea. He looked away when he sentenced me. He said, we won't put you in that hole if you promise not to feed another living soul. I told that judge I could not say that crazy law I would obey, nor pay no fine or post no bail. Now I'm feeding folks inside the county jail. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now Ollie North, he lied under oath, lied to the judge and the Congress both. He was running drugs for the Contra War, but they locked me up because I fed the poor. Our leader George, you know he might be right when he sees 1,000 points of light with the kindler, gentler hearts like mine. But now there's just 999. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail. Serving soup, that was my crime. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time.
Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Well, serving time.
"30 days in the county jail." And it's all true, except it was 45 days in the county jail, I believe reduced for good behavior. If Sandy Loringer is listening, give a call in and give us the true facts. I keep confusing that. But in any case, she got out after about 23 days in the county jail. She went directly to jail. She refused to seek any kind of appeal or stay. And actually the same thing happened to a previous defendant, the first man arrested for serving free food, Brian Flanagan Staley. He also got jail. And I am facing jail. Hey, and so are these sleep-out people facing jail. I'm facing jail for food. They're facing jail for sleep. We're all facing jail for sleep. The Santa Cruz homeless community is facing jail for sleep in policies that must be changed and which we can change with sufficient education and pressure and public protest in order to let City Hall know it cannot get away with business as usual on this issue. Cannot get away with it. Indeed, even though those four members of the sleepout are leaving, Shannon, Cisco, Dennis, and Scott, and again, my thanks to each of you. That you've been doing good. And plus, you're fun people with interesting stories, as will be coming out in some of these tapes, I hope, if we get to the proper places on the tape. Boy, do I need an editor. Why don't we launch into that? I began a tape on the very first day of the sleepout, in which I was hoping to play on Monday, but unfortunately couldn't find, which is a frequent occurrence with me. But I did find it. It's here, and here's a little of that very first Friday, a week ago, when the sleepout began. We're going to be talking today at the sleepout, by the way, about ways to expand the protest and to make the protest more dramatic downtown. I don't know how many people agree with this. This is my thought, and I've only been there one night, one full night. Most people who are at the protest are there on and off. They sleep in shifts so that they can sleep kind of hidden off to the side and not be caught, as they were this morning, with their pillows out, so to speak, so that they can continue the protest. But during the day, City Hall is kind of a quieter spot, particularly on the weekend. I was hoping that things could be revved up to move downtown, but who knows what they'll decide.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello, Mr. Robert Norris.
Well, that sounds like Just Man Jim Costner, my prior, the talk show host before mine, who kind of revs up the audience, gets them ready.
you asked the question if people agreed with making the protest more visible.
Uh-huh.
And I completely agree. In fact, I'm completely and thoroughly convinced that in order for the sleeping ban to be abolished by the city council, who possesses that power to do so, they will not do so until there is enough people in this community who are demanding that it be done. And in order for there to be enough people who are united and in solidarity demanding that the sleeping ban be abolished, we have to make the protests more visible, and the struggles we have to get more creative and more organized around how specifically and exactly to get more and more people aware of this issue, and those people who are aware of this issue, how can we encourage them, and how can we organize effective actions, demonstrations. And I don't want to take all your time, this is the last thing.
No, don't go. Let me interrupt you for a moment and ask you this. First of all, are you interested in showing up at City Hall sometime in the early afternoon and adding your input to this conversation?
Well, I'm actually, unfortunately today I work 11 hours starting in about an hour. Yeah.
Well, I know you've been keeping tabs on the sleepout. I've seen you there. And before you take off, maybe you can give us some kind of background. I remember you began this struggle against the sleepout back in 1994 when Jack White John Hamilton was doing a kind of a table in front of Coonerty's bookstore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you first get involved in all this? Do you remember the first time you started doing sleepout activity?
I think probably the first time is actually when you organized a protest in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz. It was kind of there was about 15 activists, and we kind of did a circle with signs, and we're passing out leaflets, and we were, at that time, we were voicing our concerns and our opposition to the downtown ordinances that were not come about yet, but were being developed in the process of coming about.
That was in the spring of 1994 when they were getting their sit-on-the-sidewalk laws ready.
That's right.
And I remember how outspoken you were, and indeed as the protest mounted against these ordinances, which actually came about because they didn't want people to protest the sleeping ban. They didn't like our tables, and they didn't like our sleepouts. So they thought they could get rid of us by making it illegal for us to protest.
Well, see, that's where the oppressors always fail to understand, is that history shows the more oppressors deal with the oppressed who start rising, the more that they can clamp down on the oppressed, the more the oppressed get politicized. So they're actually, what they're doing is they're fueling their own fire that will ultimately be their demise and their downfall.
You know, and Jim, to give people a kind of a perspective, you went through a year of court nonsense. In fact, you're still kind of suffering probation from all that stuff, aren't you?
That's right, and that's what has caused me not to sleep out with the people at the downtown. But what I will say is that I will sleep out with any people downtown who oppose a sleeping ban when the struggle gets to the point where it feels that we can break this.
Uh-huh.
Now, in any way, I do not mean to belittle the great efforts that the people at City Hall have taken and the risks that they've taken. I completely uphold those levels of struggle. What I'm merely saying is that because of the consequence over my head and how much jail time, how much fines, and how much I would be fucked with because of being on probation for political reasons, then I have to wait until there's enough people where I feel that, okay, this is the time.
I think a lot of people feel that way, and that's one of the numbers. I think people keep thinking in terms of numbers, and there is, of course, an importance to numbers. I also want to, maybe you have a more specific sense of the man that you actually, one of the reasons you got involved in a number of criminal charges, which in my mind were bogus and trumped up and had to do with essentially your speech activities, and you are now suffering this probation for, was you supported David Dumars, or BD,
mm-hmm.
in his protest of how police abused a homeless vigil. He was then assaulted by ID building employee Stuart Martin
That's
in 1994,
right.
And he himself is suffering the threats of a retrial, again, kind of a giant step backward. He's going to be taken to trial for actions that happened 2 years ago in protests to end the sleeping ban, peaceful protest to end the sleeping ban, which merchants didn't like, and so they slandered, and some merchants physically assaulted one merchant, I should say, Stuart Martin. Do you have any details on David Dumars' case?
Well, I have been in contact with David Dumars for some time, and it appears that they just keep prolonging his situation in the court process because the powers that be feel that they want to. They have made it to where he's not allowed to be organizing on Pacific Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So they have made it to where he's actually banned from being on Pacific Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's directly because they don't want his intelligence and his intellectual understanding and his organizational skills being a part of the struggle.
Not to mention his loud voice.
His loud voice, that helps. And
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm not familiar with at this point when his next court date has been. I know he had a court date a little while ago. He said to me that it wasn't that important. It was just a hearing, and I'm not sure exactly what stage the process is in.
Maybe you can call him up and ask him to call in, because I'd love to. He said he wanted more airtime for his case when he came to the last Free Radio Santa Cruz meeting.
Uh-huh.
And for our audience's information, David Dumars, or BD, was a man who spoke in a loud voice in front of the Cafe Georgiana, which is right next to the bookshop Santa Cruz. Right outdoors, telling the people that across the street, police were dragging off and abusing homeless activists.
That's right.
They took away a guy who had a sign, "Don't, you know, arrested, sit crime in progress," or, you know, and there was no law against sitting on the sidewalk at that time, but the police were acting as though there were, and they were just dragging people away, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
And in order to stop the speech, Stuart Martin from the ID building, who's now the hero of the hour because of his, commendable activity around helping a person who had a heroin overdose.
Stuart Martin is an utterly reactionary individual who cannot, at this point, comprehend anything about struggle for justice, and who actually is a little obstacle in the way of our organizational efforts.
Yeah, he's not even there anymore in terms of fighting. I mean, he still was abusing homeless people last Christmas, but I don't want to focus on him. I want to focus on BD, on David Dumars, as he's also called, and on the case of the people who will now be going to trial, the five ticketed people at the Santa Cruz City sleepout.
When is their court date?
Well, they don't get a court date until it's a couple weeks in the hopper. That's the strange thing about these minor infraction tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't get a jury trial, and they won't get a public defender. All they'll get, of course, is a day before some board judge who will probably find them guilty if the cops bother to show up.
Uh-huh.
And if the cases go to court, what we're looking for, though, of course, is some kind of amnesty, such as is being sought in San Francisco for the 33,000 Matrix tickets that were issued in the last 2 years by Mayor Frank Jordan.
33,000 tickets have been issued in the last 2 years, Matrix, just for the downtown ordinances in San Francisco.
Yes, according to today's San Francisco Chronicle.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Maybe you could repeat that.
33,000 tickets for crimes such as sleeping, and some of them may have been having an open container, for heaven's sakes.
That's a lot of human beings who have taken risks for what's right that have been intimidated and pounded upon by the powers that be.
And it's not even that they're taking risks. These are innocent people who have no place to be other than where they are, and they're just getting fucked with to get them out of the downtown area, and then to get them out of the park, and then to get them out of the world is
That's
what they
right.
want.
Yeah, well, all we need to do is get the oppressors out of the world.
We need to certainly get them out of power, no question.
Yeah.
And I encourage you to give a call to BD and see if you can get him to call into the station.
I will do that.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Robert.
Thank you, Jim Costner.
Take care.
And the phone lines are open for all the rest of you who want to give a call to 427-3772. You're going into the second hour shortly of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz. And we're particularly covering events around City Hall, around the homeless shelter, and also with reference to San Francisco, what's going on up there, and where they have an amnesty, or at least a moratorium. And down here we've got a Mayor Rotkin. I guess there's a difference.
Hi, Aaron. What?
We thought that was a call, and in fact it was a call. Try again, caller. Give us a few more moments to notice you. Sometimes we're in the midst of an impassioned speech, and we don't get to the phone quickly enough. So call in to 427-3772. The lines are open here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Well, where we're going now is where I promised we would be going, which is a kind of a retrospective of the Sleep Out. There hasn't been a lot of heavy activity to Sleep Out. There were two tickets issued this morning, and I didn't get a direct report until I came into the studio, and Al was calling in, talking to a previous talk show host just on the phone. You heard him, Jim Costner. We learned that two people had been ticketed, and, you know, that actually is to be expected. It's to be condemned, of course. But I don't have any particular hostility toward the particular officers doing this, if they do so in a professional manner, although, you know, it would be nice if they got an honest job on this issue, or if they joined us by saying we're not going to give tickets for that, or if they showed some resistance, but it's difficult to expect that, you know, I mean, that's true. However, when they're engaging in beating people up or harassing them or inappropriately informing them, as Chief Belcher, the head of the Santa Cruz Police Department, has been doing, telling people they can't lie down during the day. Not so, Chief Belcher, at least not unless you're way downtown on Pacific Avenue, as I understand it. Although, who knows, that could become an issue, too. The issue of lying down during the day was made criminal by Scott Kennedy, Mike Rotkin, indeed almost the entire city council. I think with the exception of Catherine Byers, she was the only dissenting vote, in 1994, so you don't even have to fall asleep at night to be illegal. If you lie down downtown, the downtown district, anywhere, that is an infraction. If you do so twice, I believe it's within 30 days, that's a misdemeanor, automatic misdemeanor. Now, sleeping tickets are not automatic misdemeanors, or the courts would be in major trouble, because, you see, misdemeanors require public defenders and $10,000 jury trials each, and a dozen homeless people could tie up the courts big time, as we have in the past. So, they don't charge sleeping tickets as misdemeanors. They have never charged sleeping tickets as misdemeanors. But unfortunately, the silly sillies who put together the anti-homeless laws that are called the downtown ordinances don't have the option not to charge a second crime as a misdemeanor. If they want to give you a second ticket, it has to be a misdemeanor, which really makes the authorities quite vulnerable. If people wanted to do a massive lie-down demonstration downtown, they could force the authorities to arrest them a second time and produce misdemeanor trials. Here's an incoming call.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I'm looking for Loopy Allen.
Loopy Allen?
Is she at this number?
No, you reached Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're out there, Loopy, someone is looking for you. Oh, well. So here's a retrospective of the City Hall Sleepout, which I encourage you to not only go to at night, but also look in on during the day. There's a lot of really articulate folks there, and they need your help in all kinds of ways. They need your help in terms of bringing down food. They need your help in terms of, even if you don't come down again, to make phone calls and write letters. to the paper with copies to the mayor and city council. They need you to call into talk shows. They need you to give them your ideas as to how to best proceed to break this crazy sleeping ban law and this attitude of intransigence that is blocking any kind of real action at city council. So come to the city hall sleepout and come at any time of the day or night and bring whatever you can to help. It will be very much appreciated, particularly now that the numbers have been cut down. Well, let's hear from the early days of the sleepout. That is a week ago. Here's some interviews from Friday, March 1st. And please do call in. I will interrupt the tape of the interviews for any live calls.
So it's 20 to 6 at City Hall on March 1st, 1996. Dan Hopkins is becoming a video photographer. And we also have here...
My name is Enos.
And Senor Enos is making some pungent social criticisms. Next to Senor Enos is a sign from the River Street Refugees. The land cannot be the exclusive property of some. The non-admission to the land of those who are in need of it is a sin, Leo Tolstoy. Plus we have that notorious Food Not Bombs personality, D-Bob. Hello there, D-Bob.
Hello.
Alrighty. I see you're supporting this particular action here.
Yes, I am.
Looks like the flowers are in bloom here. What is that? What kind of flowers are those? Any idea? It's kind of Japanese to me. This tree right behind the City Hall sign at 809 Center Street is in bloom. And we also have Feed the People, which is feeding the people here, including Sean, John Earth, and a host of bread cutters. You, sir, what's your name?
Jimmy.
Jimmy the Knife, they call him, with his butter knife, cutting that bread. And it's a fire engine. Nothing to worry about, folks. And over here we have serving the food is...
Nausea.
Of course. And what is this weird-looking food you're serving? Is it really edible? Come on, what's the truth?
Yeah, I put some snails in it.
Oh, snails, all right, some protein. I was worried that there might be protein lacking, but...
Yeah.
And we have that notorious video photographer, Charlie Phillips. Hello, Charlie.
Yeah, how are you? It's nice to see you, Robert.
Charlie's got quite a voice. And there's somebody honking, but I don't think they're honking at us, strangely enough. So...
He's looking at himself in here.
Yeah.
Can you call the station, tell him, honk as you go by, honk if you want to.
We can do that. It might be good to just put up a sign here that says honk if you support us. Have we got a sign, a blank sign, or that's what we need? So it's about 6:20, and the rosy glow of sunset is in the sky here at City Hall. It's actually kind of a mild evening after all the rainy nights the last few days. And you, Sean, here you are in your suspenders, sitting back or leaning back, and, hey, serving food again along with these other rascals. How many people have you served tonight?
We are serving maybe about 15, 20.
And how does that compare with your usual crowd?
Usual crowd is a lot mellower, a lot nicer, a lot more smiles.
This group here, you mean?
Yeah, it's very peaceful. Maybe because it's not as many people. And definitely no drunks. It's amazing. I'm not used to this.
It's a greener setting, too, than your Cathcart and Pacific area, right?
Oh, yes. It's got nice lawns. It's nicely mowed, trimmed, nice trees. And City Hall is a nice place to, I guess, to camp out sometimes, huh?
So what kind of, I think it might be a nice place for at least a few people to camp out tonight. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, that's what I hear. See what happens.
Now, are you going to be serving food more regularly here? How much food do you intend to serve and how often?
Well, actually, we're still going to keep the same five-day schedule. As long as there's not another organization serving a meal in a free man's way, we will serve meals. Right now we're doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. So I just momentarily, a few minutes ago, I just talked to Mike Rotkin, which is the mayor, and he was leaving the office, working late. That's pretty admirable.
Did Mike offer to join the sleepout, perhaps?
Well, let's not push it, huh? Mm. But...
Why not?
Well, he has his views, I understand that, and, these people have their views, and I respect that, so That's it.
Serving food to all comers.
Hey, Robert, this can't make us political, huh?
Certainly we're here not. To, for heaven's
we're,
sake.
Serve, we're here to serve the people.
All right. Hi there.
Hello?
A brief interruption in this. You're listening to a March 1st tape, the first day of the sleep out at City Hall. And I understand the City Hall sleep out people have been blessed with a radio. Hi there, everybody, at the City Hall sleep out. I'm waving at you. Wave back. If you have anything you want to say, please call in to 427-3772. We can use an update. I remember last night we were talking about asking Mayor Mike Rotkin to declare an emergency, present an emergency piece of legislation to the Tuesday City Council meeting. You may remember that every second and fourth Tuesday there is a City Council meeting in Santa Cruz, and he has the option to present an emergency bill which will lift the sleeping ban immediately if he sets it up within 72 hours before that council meeting.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey there. Am I actually on the air right now?
You are actually on the air.
Wow. Okay, this is Chad.
Chad, you are from the Santa Cruz City Hall sleepout, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I have spent a couple nights here,
uh-huh.
And I'm extremely interested in the purpose and the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to say was this. This message goes out primarily to the police,
mm-hmm.
but as well goes out to all the people who are watching this.
Uh-huh.
And it goes out also with a strong emphasis to those people who are considered or consider themselves Christians.
Right.
Who are trying to do the law and the will of God.
Right.
What I'd like to say is that do not enforce and do not endorse the enforcement of these very temporary and illusional laws that were created by the government and by people. Instead, let's be real and enforce the real law, because the real law is going to wash these little laws away like litter on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we are down here spending some beautiful time with beautiful people next to a very beautiful garden provided to us by the City Hall. And I think that everyone should come down and help us fight for the real law.
That's at 809 Center Street, right across from the main public library and also the Civic Auditorium.
Yep.
Chad, let me ask you, were you present when the tickets were given this morning?
Yes.
And who was the second person other than Sean ticketing?
I couldn't tell you his name.
Ah.
I do not know.
Was he driven away by the ticket, or what happened after that? How were the police? How did they act?
There's one officer, and he was very calm and pretty non-intrusive. He wasn't violent or aggressive or
good.
Anything,
mm-hmm.
which was good. But,
And did the man who was ticketed stay, or did he go?
He stayed.
He stayed. Did he stay awake? Or did
yes.
you go back to sleep?
No one went back to sleep after that. Actually, I fell asleep after that.
Oh, fine. Confessing your guilt, officer? Officer. We'll send an officer over to give you a sleeping
ticket.
Well,
I'm actually right behind the police department door. I could knock on it myself if you like.
You could. You could call them up and turn yourself in. In fact, that's what we should all turn ourselves in, the sleep criminals.
Perhaps I will.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
Now, what about this plan that was going around? Have Sean and Dan Hopkins decided they're going to make an appeal to Mike Rotkin to do what I was discussing a moment ago? I don't know if you heard it on the radio, but I was suggesting that City Council, when it meets next Tuesday, pass an emergency law that lifts the sleeping ban, at least for as long as there is no emergency campground area for people to sleep in, just like it has been done in San Francisco under Mayor Willie Brown. And do you think that your group will be interested in going into the mayor and doing that? I heard some rumors that you were going to do that.
Well, I haven't actually discussed the political strategies. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, what you might do, if you can, is ask the group if they're planning to do something like that, and if they are, have them give me a call, because I'd like to know if they're doing it, and possibly people could call City Hall to support that move, and I could announce on the radio, we're all, of course, live right now, that people should call 429-3550, which is the City Council number, and support that move, support a moratorium on the sleeping ban,
yes.
an emergency law on Tuesday. So,
do it!
Can you call me up?
Yep.
And let me know if you're doing that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Chuck Wagon Chad there at the sleepout, kind of hanging in. And we were actually having some talk at 4 in the morning when I was hobnobbing with him. And I guess it was it Bull or was it Al? Anyways, bunches of different, a few bunches, unfortunately, just a few single individuals.
But they kept vigil through the night, and I showed up with some coffee, as I usually do at night. And you just got to wear a lot of warm clothing. If you go down there, it's cold season. Everybody I know is just getting completely sick, and I'm sorry. I hope you guys at home are, you know, covered up and wrapped up and getting well again. You women at home, boy, get warm, get well. We need you. Let's continue with the old March 1st tape, and then we'll skip ahead to more recent sleep out stuff.
And we do that.
So this is going to be every night. About what time will you be serving?
Approximately 5:30, same as usual.
Okay.
But instead of the hippie corner, a lot of people want us to move from there. So I think this is a pretty beautiful setting. I mean, I love this place. Nice lights, gorgeous, pretty romantic. Free food.
So at least you'll be here as long as the protest. You think even after the protest ends?
Yeah, possibly after the protest, unless the city gives us a location to feed the people, and that's the main program that we're running after, for the city to give us a location that we can feed, you know, homeless people.
Well, thank you, Sean, and we'll keep abreast of events. You think you'll be here later, or you're going to be packing up pretty soon? What's the plan?
We're just going to be here for a while until you know, everybody's fed. It seems like there's more people coming down from downtown from hippie quarter, so we just gotta keep going until we run out of soup.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Sean with
Johnny Dredd, and
I don't want to be recorded.
Uh-oh, this man is not to be recorded at the moment. But I will simply describe, well, I'll describe him later. I'm talking to
David.
David, where are you from?
Originally Salem, Massachusetts.
And you've been out here for a while?
I've been homeless now for about 4 years on and off. And I've mostly been all over the country living with a lot of homeless and rainbows and stuff.
And you've been in Santa Cruz for how long?
Oh, about 3 weeks. But I've been here before a couple times, visiting and coming through your homeless programs around here. I think they're a good idea originally for the homeless, you know, when they come in, have a place to stay at least.
Right.
And I don't like the idea of having their new shelter environment they're having put in for how do I say this?
I'm sorry, you've been in Santa Cruz for how long?
About 3 weeks now. I've been seeing what's been going on. And
where do you sleep when you sleep in there?
I sleep in a van.
And that's, of course, illegal in the city of Santa Cruz. Have you been arrested or ticketed?
No, not yet.
Or warned?
No, we've actually been in a safe area for four vans at the time.
Mostly a church area?
Yes.
Mostly you were part of the ISSP program. You went to the churches and got a place to park.
Yeah, through a friend who helped us show us where these places were.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And are you going to be sleeping here tonight?
I'd like to. I very much would. And
you realize that might mean a ticket for you.
Oh, well.
Really? That's interesting. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, how many are in your party?
There's four.
Okay, and are they all interested in risking a ticket? Or?
I can't speak for the rest of them because they are not here at the moment.
I see.
Yeah.
They might be.
Yeah, but they might be, though.
Okay. Well, that's great. Anything else you want to say for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
That I think you're all doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you, David. And what's your name?
My name is Rebecca.
Rebecca, what's your connection with this motley crew?
I was just talking to my friend Bam Bam. He told me that he was going to come over here and have some food, and that there was some kind of demonstration happening.
Exactly. So, in fact, here's a flyer about it, if you're interested. It's a sleep out on behalf of homeless people, and by homeless people, and by some people like myself who aren't homeless. And are you homeless yourself?
I don't live in a house, but I can't say I'm homeless.
Are you living illegally in Santa Cruz?
What does that mean?
Sleeping outdoors at night?
Sometimes.
We're happy.
Okay.
Could you tell them that, you know,
that's illegal to sleep outside?
It is illegal to sleep outside at night because of a local city ordinance done by the people of the city hall, who are, we hope, we're trying to get them to change the law.
Right on. How long has that been? How long has it been that way?
It's been that way since 1978, actually, the latest. And it's been oppressive ever since that time. And they closed the only legal campground back in December, and so folks here are beginning to gather on the
try to stop that and dramatize that and alert the conscience of the city.
Right on. Yeah.
And you're invited to stay, too.
To sleep here tonight?
Yes. We should make it a ticket. If you can.
A ticket?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, what just happened?
Uh-oh, I'm sorry.
Will you put some butter on that?
And what's your name?
Ohia.
Who are you?
Ohia.
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 And how old are you, Ohia?
4.
And where do you sleep at night?
I sleep in my van.
All right. And how is that?
Good.
Is it warm and comfy?
Why am I lying up here?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Comments from the younger generation.
Indeed. Young and old are impacted by the sleeping ban. Switching now to a quick interview with Red Top Robert Flory, who actually gave a rather eloquent show yesterday, which he played tapes from sleepster Dan Hopkins, Dragon's Heart Dan, who, unfortunately, we didn't get a copy of that one. Our main copier was sick and had not been informed that Red Top show was happening. We actually need schedules down here so that we can actually distribute them and know whose show is when. Get on it, Free Radio Santa Cruz, what can I say? And I'm going to now play you, if I can find the tape. Let's try this, see if we can play for you a few voices that will soon be gone from the sleep out.
It's March 6, 1996, 5 after 1, in front of City Hall.
How you doing?
We're with the notorious Cisco and, of course, Pancho. No, it's not Pancho. It's Punchy. No, it's not Punchy. It's...
I feel pretty punchy.
It's Show-Off Shannon. And, of course, here back from 43 hours of sleep, it's Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins with a sign, "Arrest people for sleeping? How absurd."
Oh, you read fast, don't you?
I read fast. And, of course, it's the notorious Scott and the evil Dennis.
Yeah.
Showing up with backpacks, coats, bedding, other paraphernalia of criminal behavior, which they will have to answer for tonight. So, and, of course, there's Weasel, the one-legged dog, barking his way forward. Greenbelt Committee. So anyway, Cisco, you said you had an interesting conversation with a critic?
This critic come up and asked me if I was able to work, and I told her, yes, I'm able to work, but I do my work in making my jewelry and traveling the world selling it. And she said, well, you better realign your motives, and I told her she better realign her life and try to figure out what she really needs to do.
Criticize people who she doesn't like the look of, it looks like to me.
Exactly. She criticized me because she thought I was a hippie, and I'm not a hippie.
I would hope not. Heaven's sake.
It just seems...
Shout out, Shannon.
It just seems sort of ironic to me that in a country where people are supposed to be individuals and choose their own lives and have the freedom of individuality, that you can be criticized for choosing what you want to do with your life.
That's true. On the other hand, I mean, you've got a...
Got blowaways.
The wind is blowing them away. I'm going to make a new flyer, folks. There was an interest. I did my two-hour show. I suppose nobody listened to it.
I was sleeping. I'm sorry.
Oh, fine. Sleeping again. Now, you guys have got narcolepsy or something. All right. Talking to Shannon. And, Shannon, you got some news about what group?
St. Francis.
St. Francis Soup Kitchen and Clothing Vending Distribution.
I went in there to get a pair of shoes, a pair of jeans, and some socks.
Yesterday?
Day before yesterday.
Monday?
And I got a brand new pair of tennis shoes, and she told me to go outside and put my shoelaces on them. And I said, well, I was going to be walking through mud, so I'd carry them and save them and, you know, let my old shoes get muddy. And she asked me where I'd been sleeping, if I'd been camping out. And I said, yes, I had. And she asked me where, and I said, well, I spent last night under a bridge, because I went and got some wrists under a bridge. I said, but the night before that, I was at City Hall. And she goes, give me back those shoes. And she grabs them out of my hand. She goes, we don't approve of you people. Get out of here. And she threw me out of
there. Is this Lila Boa, the older woman?
I think her name's Betty, is the rumor I've heard. And I guess today she asked someone else who's been here for the last couple days where he was sleeping.
Really?
So now they're... judging whether or not you deserve to have clothes on where you sleep.
No clothes for political protesters. Now, what is your view on this, Dennis?
Well, I went in there today to get some clothes, because I don't have any clothes, and she asked me where I've been sleeping. Well, so I could get some clothes, I lied to her and told her I was sleeping at the armory, and because I needed some clothes, and that was the only place I know to get some clothes.
If she didn't know what I looked like, I wouldn't go in there and lie to her, too, because, I mean, I got holes in my shoes, and my feet are getting cold, and...
Hey, toe the line and you'll get your shoes.
So, and it was kind of wicked, but...
I know, it doesn't make any sense, does it? It's like, if they don't approve of you, then you... It's like, where would you like me to sleep?
I mean, I could sleep on her front doorstep if that's what she wants me to do. You know?
I could sleep in her backyard. I got a nice tent. We could all go back there.
I think people should set up a tent over there, and then when they arrest everybody, we have nice video footage of the same, of them calling the cops on the homeless.
They got a nice little lawn out there right by the railroad tracks and those trees and stuff. That'd be a cool little place to sleep. Oh, yeah. And that guy leaves his door open with the radio on. I could go for that.
Mel,
food real close by.
Shannon, this is Mel.
Hi, Mel.
Mel, Shannon.
Nice to meet
this
you.
This is Cisco, Dennis, Bam
this
Bam.
This is our dog, Weasel.
Weasel the dog, and Dan Hopkins. A visitor visits the sleeper.
The notorious Dan Hopkins.
Yes.
And you're listening to 2 days ago at the Sleep Out Vigil. A brief update on the situation at the St. Francis Catholic Soup Kitchen, the noon meal for some people that also allows showers and food distribution if you are politically correct, sufficiently humble, and one of the worthy and deserving poor. I called the head of that program, Lee Laboa. I believe she's still the head. She certainly was the head several years ago. And I asked her, on behalf of Free Radio Santa Cruz, if in fact it was the policy to deny food and clothing to those who attend the protest, and she agreed, we don't want them here. I'm still searching for that tape, folks. I desperately need an editor, so I want you to give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, if you'd like to volunteer to help me sort my tapes, so that next show you'll be able to hear things that actually happened instead of my description of things that happened. We also had a rather interesting and lengthy interview with Karen Gillette of the Homeless Community Resource Center, who is the director, and I believe their board is meeting on the 20th at 5:30, although they haven't told me the meeting spot. I'm on their agenda to talk about emergency shelter, and I've been encouraging her to hold open meetings, but apparently they are having some problems with doing that. She keeps telling me that she doesn't want homeless people to feel ignored if they're not on the agenda, that they should just call her and talk to her if they want to discuss something, but I've kind of been, I mean, I have a room and a phone, and it's taken me 4 months to get on their agenda, in the sense that whenever I call them, their meetings have already happened, and they're not regularly posted. I mean, I think if in so important a matter as homeless services, whether it be the Homeless Community Resource Center or the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, it's really important that these meetings be well-publicized and open to homeless people for their input. I mean, that is the major guard against bureaucratic abuse, is for there to be some kind of countervailing open access. That's what, for example, the Citizens Committee has shut off. As we know, if you've been following my show, Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which runs the emergency shelter programs, whether that be the Armory or the Church program, and they used to run the Coral Street Open Air Shelter before they illegally, that is to say, in violation of a verbal contract that I believe would stand up in a court as a legal document, closed that shelter, closed that campground to facilitate their $1.3 million community house trailer project, which apparently they're still having trouble getting funding for, but they're pretending to proceed with. CCH, Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and HCRC, Homeless Community Resource Center, and hey, any group that gets bucks from the government to help the homeless, and I'm not going to completely disparage that. I think Karen provides good services. Frankly, I've liked some of Paul Merceau's work on the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, and I think he's an admirable and charming dinner companion, though he's never invited me to dinner. He seems like he would be. But when men like Merceau, lie to the homeless and shut them out of shelter, you got to call them on it. And then when they try to shut you out of their meetings, it kind of shows their true colors. Before we continue with the tape, however, in my pathetic cold, damaged voice, I'm going to read you a poem from Street Scenes by Julia Vinaigrette. Julia is a poet I like to read from Berkeley, also known as the Bubble Lady. She's appeared not on the show live, but she's done interviews for us. She's a wonderful poet, and she's been writing for 3 decades now. And here's what she has to say. Full moon at the end of the month. A cop car cruises the street once every 15 minutes. No one's surprised. Tonight's catastrophes were reserved. 2 weeks in advance, like a good table at a fancy restaurant. Only the names are concealed to heighten interest. Who will be the mystery guest in a moonlight cell? Who will get pregnant? Who will part forever from their own true love? Who will get in a drunken fight when they can't afford the price of a drink? Waiters in tuxedos, cops in uniforms, and only the moon to eat. No cash. We pay with charge accounts and whatever we're officially charged with. We spend the night blaming the man on the moon. He did it all. He freaked out. He broke the window. He stole that lady's purse and ran, unless, of course, they were lovers. And certainly he's drunk. Look at him roll through those clouds. No way he could keep a straight line. It's disgusting. That scapegoat moon blooms and bloats with our faults, white as an ambulance which comes later, along with the vanilla ice cream for dessert. The man on the moon, why, he owns that restaurant where we served our troubles, like good tables, 2 weeks in advance. That's Full Moon at the End of the Month in the book Street Scenes by Julia Vinaigrette. And here's another one.